And welcome to EMP this morning on a Saturday morning. Thank you for showing up. My name is Cora and I lead Westville House Church. So today I will be leading EMP and sharing my devotions. So I'm going to start with the opening prayer. So if you turn to your app, that is opening prayer for March 13th. Dear Heavenly Father, may my life be seasoned with salt. Protect me from that which would cause me to lose my saltiness. I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Help me live and move in that reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we are going to watch the video of Mark 9, 30 to 50.
They went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another."
Okay, so I will be reading the devotions for Mark 9. So once again, the disciples failed to understand and failed to accept Jesus' teaching about his death. The way of the Messiah led to sacrifice and death, and all of those who follow him are called to emulate this pattern. But the disciples were glory hunters. They argue about who was the greatest, and they were indignant when they heard about the ministry of others because they wanted the limelight for themselves. Instead, Jesus taught his disciples that the way to true glory was self-sacrifice. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. They needed to humbly trust like little children. So too, we need to lay aside our glory-hunting tendencies. We need to humbly trust and to sacrificially serve. Okay, so now I am going to read Romans passage from the app. So that is Romans 8, 31 to 39. So verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." Okay, so I'm going to be sharing my devotions this morning, and I'm going to share from the Romans passage. So when I was actually reflecting on all these passages, the first question I asked myself was, why are there so many questions? And I get it. As a teacher, I too ask a lot of questions to a point that actually frustrates my students and my husband as well. But I try to teach my students to question things, right? To embrace a culture of inquiry, curiosity, and exploration. So I get what Paul is doing here by posing a series of questions to draw his readers in. The process itself is frustrating, which I definitely felt last night. But I guess that is the whole point, is that we would grapple with those questions in a process of inquiry, curiosity, and exploration. And also in the process of it, we'll answer those questions for ourselves. So let's begin this process, shall we? In these few verses, Paul asks six questions. The first one is verse 31. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I felt like as I was reading yesterday, that Paul sets his argument in a way where he poses five questions and attempt to actually answer the first one. In fact, he wants to build a case so that at the end of it, we come to our own conclusion of how we should answer these questions, namely the first one. So let's begin with the first one, which is in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? So my question to this question is, what are these things? And we kind of have to look back at the preceding verses, right, to answer this. If you read back at Romans 8, he talks about all things work together for those who love him. In Romans 8, again, he talks about God foreknew us, predestined us, called us, even while we were dead to our trespasses, justify us, which is all of chapter 5. And is now glorifying us, right? All of these things, right, I feel like is God saying, what do we say to this, right? All that God has done for us, all that Paul has been talking about throughout up to this verse. But I also would like to propose that the following verses after verse 31, Paul continues to build his case by posing the following five questions. Let's look at what these questions are. Number one, who can be against us? Number two, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Number three, Who will bring charge against God's elect? Number four, who is the one who condemns? And number five, who will separate us from the love of God? And I actually really think that these are kind of like rhetorical question, even though he provides an answer, right? But it is their setup meant for us to ask ourselves these questions so that we can answer them for ourselves. And of course, in all these questions, you know, we kind of know the answer, right, in the verses. And the clear answer is no one, right? So let's look back. Number one, who can be against us? No one, because God is for us. Number two, how will he not graciously give us all things? Well, he does. Number three, who will bring charge against God's elect? No one, because he is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? No one, because Christ is the one who died and rose and intercedes for us on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of God? No one. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably like, Cora, I know this already. I know the answer. And I've heard this verse, right? Millions of times, probably spoken over me. And I know Jesus died for me. But I really believe, as I said before, that Paul wants to draw us in, right? And make us ask these questions so that we will answer them. So I want us to think, even just now, as we pause, like when we ask ourselves these questions, what's the first answer that comes to our head this morning, right? Is it really the answer, no one? Though sometimes it's hard for us to admit, right? It's these questions, even the answer itself, it's really hard for me to sometimes claim these things to be true, right? Some of you might be asking, right? Like, I know a few people even within a congregation, right? I know that this happened. Like, I was brought to court, right, last week for something that I didn't do. How can you say that no one can bring charges against me, right? I try really hard to shake off my guilt, yet I still feel condemned. How can you say that nobody can condemn me? I certainly feel alone, right, that God hasn't answered my prayers. I feel separated from God. Where is he? I feel like God is withholding from me. Why does he bless him and her, but not me, right? I sometimes have asked these questions myself. And I think for me, the mind-blowing revelation that I had actually lies in verse 32 in the argument that Paul is trying to make. And I want us to understand how important this argument is, because it actually gives justification to all the questions that were asked earlier. So let's look at verse 32. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" This is an argument called from greater to lesser. And I think Jackie would appreciate it because he's a lawyer. But this whole idea is, it's a proposition grounded on the common sense that the greater includes the lesser. And what do I mean by that? It means that, so here's an example. If I'm able to lift up a 10 million pound stone, then surely I can lift up a 10 pound stone, right? I have done the greater thing, which is lifting up a 10 million pound stone. So surely, right, this argument is surely I can do the easier thing, which is lifting up the 10 pound stone. So Paul sets up this argument here in verse 32. And actually, if you read the Bible, many times this argument has been presented. So here in this verse, what is the harder thing, right? Is it for God to give up his own son? Or is it for him to freely give us all things? If someone were to hold a gun to my face and demand that I either give up my son or my possessions, I don't know, but I think the answer is pretty obvious. The easier choice would be to grant that person all my things. But God here did the harder thing, right? By not sparing his own son, but gave him up for us. So the logic is, why wouldn't he do the easier thing, which is to freely give us all things? And if you're wondering, the answer is that he would. Before I was brought to the revelation of the weight of what God did on the cross, right? The love that he had. I had always thought that the hindrance and the obstacles between God and myself was my sin, my guilt, and his wrath. I am guilty and God is angry at me for sinning. I had struggled with that even after I believed in God and accepted him. I mean, of course, sin and guilt and his wrath are obstacles, but that they are not the greatest obstacle. And I'm wondering even this morning, what are your obstacles, right? What's hindering you from choosing God and to come to God? And I want to propose that the greatest obstacle in the way of salvation was not sin, was not guilt. It was not even God's wrath, but it was God's love for his son, his only begotten son, his beloved son. That was the harder thing God had to give up. It's not sin that is the insurmountable mountain standing between us and God. You know, it's not even my guilt. It's not even God's anger. It was the love of God for his son that was the greatest obstacle. And this is the gravity of God's love. And if you think about it, sorry, it's not really Judas, right, who handed Jesus over. It's not even Pilate or the Jewish people, the Gentiles or Herod, right? But it's actually, if we really think about it, it's the victory was won not really on the day when Jesus died, but it was won long ago when God decided to hand his son over and when Jesus decided to hand himself over. So what does that mean to us? So I want to, with fresh eyes, knowing this truth, knowing the gravity and the weight of God's love, let's reconsider the verses again, shall we? If God did not fail in doing the harder thing for us, which is turning his own son over for us, which he did, how can he fail in all the other promises? If God did not spare his own son and deliver him over for us all, you can fill in the blanks, right? How will he not give us all things? If God spared his own son for us, how can anything separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or trouble or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? If God did not fail in doing the harder thing to give us his own son, which he did, who can condemn us, right? If God spared his own son for us, who can be against us? So let us go back to the first question. What then shall we say to these things? For in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You see, Paul wants us to render our own verdict, right? We need to answer this question, and we need to be convinced. So what will you say this morning? Will you be able to say like Paul that I am convinced? That knowing this, right, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other things will be able to separate us from the love of God. So as Ernie leads us into worship, I want us to ponder about this song, actually. This song is called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And there's this verse, right, in the second verse, it says, "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. A shame I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished." And I want to change. Actually, it was my counselor way long ago when he was preaching and he was talking about God's love. And he proposed that it was not his sin or my, it was not my sin, sorry, or our sins that held him there, but it was his love that held him there. Until it was accomplished. It was a choice that God made, that Jesus made. And so as we sing the song, I would like us to sing with that, with those words. It was his love that held him there.
Son, to make a wretch a treasure. Scoffers, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Why should again from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turning His face away, as wounds which might have chosen one, in His hands to glory. Oh yes, God, behold the man upon the cross, my sin. Scoffers, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is God. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should again from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wound hath paid a ransom. I will not boast, I will not boast in anything. In Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
Okay, we're going to now move into community prayer. So let's pray for those who are battling with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing over them. And that his hand would be upon them right now. Okay, let's move to praying for those who are ill and also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they will know God and pray that that God will soften their heart to come and reveal himself to them. Let's pray for the infirmities within our own house. Let's ask for God's healing upon them. Thank you. let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Pray that God will open doors for them and opportunities for them to step into getting a new job. Let's pray, go to Mission Focus right now. Pray for SPNY, pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Pray for North Korea, mission opportunities, and all the persecuted church in the Middle East. Let's pray for all the weekend gatherings. Pray for Sunday services, The Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin, Spill services and activities, Migrant Worker classes, Word class, and all the other meetings are meeting this weekend. Really pray for this Holy Spirit to be upon them and that God will reveal himself. Let's pray for Alpha that started on March 6th. Let's pray for guidance by the Holy Spirit. Pray for all the guests sign up. Pray for protection over the volunteers. Pray for those who are seeking the Lord that their hearts will be softened, that there'll be good soil when they hear the word of God. We pray for all the house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, Mawan, and Southside. Pray for them to have a good time, and then pray that they will meet the Lord today. let's lift up Hong Kong with all the cases surging, a spike of cases. Let's really pray for protection over Hong Kong. I also want to pray for the vaccination, you know, pray for also the government, pray for churches to be united. Let's really lift up Hong Kong, our home to the Lord. Okay, and I'm going to end in prayer. Thank you, Father, for just the immeasurable love that you have for us so far. Thank you that, Lord, you did not spare your own son. And by giving him to us, you did the harder thing, that we can come now standing before you in confidence, knowing that it is finished, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We just ask that, Lord Father, this truth will just really speak to us and dwell and just really... change us, the way we see ourselves, the way we see you, the way we understand, Lord Father, the gospel and what you've done. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good Saturday. Bye.